I'm going to talk to you about the quality of life and the predictors of quality of life. Thank you. In a sample of rural women with HIV disease living in the southeastern United States. On the slide, you can see my colleagues. Dr. Linda Moneyham was the PI on this particular study. It was an intervention study funded by NIH under R01 grant. And Dr. Murdaugh is, she is almost retired, but she does visit the University of Alabama at Birmingham. And Dr. Tawakkali is still at the USC, that is University of South Carolina, not the California. I don't have any disclosures to disclose. Before we start, I just want to give you a brief overview as to what I'm going to talk about. I'll talk about briefly the background and the rationale of our study. I also want to talk about what is quality of life, what is the conceptual understanding of quality of life. And as with all other research presentations, I'll talk about the methods, the study findings, the limitations, implications of the study findings, as well as recommendations for future studies. We have seen tremendous changes in HIV epidemic over the last 30 years. We have reduced HIV-related morbidity and mortality because of availability of heart due to effective treatments. But at the same time, we are not able to reduce the number of new diagnoses over past maybe a decade or so. Every year, we are having at least approximately 50,000 new infections in the United States. So given the reduced mortality and stable incidence of HIV, we are seeing more number of people living with HIV today, which is reflected in increasing HIV prevalence. We also saw a difference in the target populations. In the early years, HIV was, exclusive among white gay men, localized in the big cities in New York and California. And now we are seeing more and more impact on women, minorities, those who are living in the South and Southeastern United States, as well as rural areas. If you see just for women, in 1985, it was around 8% of AIDS cases were among women, and now we are at almost 30%. African Americans account for only 14% of United States population, but they account for nearly 44% of new HIV infections and 46% of all those people who are living with HIV today. Again, South and Southeastern United States, we are following very closely to the Northeast United States as far as the AIDS rates are concerned. And I think South is the number one for number of people living with AIDS as of today. So we are catching up with the Northeast, and I'm sure we are going to surpass the Northeast in terms of the rates and the numbers. So with the transformation of HIV disease from an acute fatal illness to chronic manageable disease, and with more and more number of people living with HIV disease today, now the focus is shifted to quality of life. It is important to add the number of years to one's life, but also we need to keep in mind that quality matters. And if we don't focus on quality of life among these people, it's going to be a challenge. Several studies have looked at the quality of life in people living with HIV, and they have found individual differences because of number of factors, which broadly we can divide into three main domains: physical, psychological, and social domains. Like, for example, HIV symptoms or existing comorbid medical conditions could fall under the physical domain that affects the quality of life. Or say, for example, stigma, depression, substance abuse, that falls under the psychological domain and that affects the quality of life. As far as the social domain is concerned, we know race, ethnicity matters. We know that social infrastructure, environment matters. So social support is another big factor in the social domain. Although we have seen the main quality of life research has been done with the chronic medical conditions such as diabetes, stroke, depression, epilepsy, we also see research done in people living with HIV, but not many studies have looked at women living with HIV disease. There is very limited research as far as the quality of life is concerned among women. And so our purpose was to examine those factors that may influence the quality of life of these women who live in the rural southeastern United States. Now, what is quality of life? It is a very complex and multifaceted concept. So people have defined it in multiple ways depending on what context they are looking at or depending on their discipline. So say, for example, sociologists will define quality of life in one way, psychologists will define in the other way, and the public health professionals will define in different way. So just taking, and because of that, there is no consensus as to what is quality of life. So any time when we are doing quality of life research, we have to define exclusively what do we mean by the quality of life. And so we use the Kalman's definition of quality of life, which says it is a gap between hopes and expectations and the current experiences at any given time. Even though there is no consensus, everybody in this area agree on two things: that it is dynamic and subjective, that can be understood only from the individual perspective. And when we say quality, it means something positive. It always has the positive connotation. To explain this particular thing, I'll take one example of two people who have lost their foot because of amputation surgery. One person has had a freak accident, and the other person had, say, for example, gangrene of the foot as a result of diabetes complication. So after the surgery, if you ask them what is their quality of life, the person with diabetes and gangrene of the foot would say it is better now, versus the other person who lost to the accident will say my quality of life is going down. That is because it is, subjective, and the person with the gangrene may have had real danger of losing life, and compared to that, now it is better. So it is dynamic and subjective. If after a year you ask the same person who, after the accident, who has lost the foot, he would say now it is better, because maybe he's got used to the new context, maybe he has got the prosthetic foot. So it doesn't it's not a stable concept. It changes over time. And especially in the chronic diseases context, it is very important, because chronic diseases bring in additional stress, additional burden on the person, and person has to deal with those added stresses in the life on a daily basis. That person needs to adapt to the new circumstances. And that is why the quality of life is a complex concept to understand. Based on all the previous research, these are just this is a schematic representation of what are the possible factors that may influence quality of life. So, so you may have factors such as poverty, depression, substance abuse, domestic violence, which may negatively influence quality of life. And on the other hand, you have social support, coping, healthy lifestyles, and situational control, which influence quality of life in a positive way. Is it too much bothering the sound next door? I'm sorry. You may come forward if you are having difficulty to listen to me. So what we, based on our understanding of quality of life and the factors that may affect, we hypothesize that HIV symptoms, HIV-related stigma, depression, and emotion-focused coping would influence quality of life in a negative way, whereas social support, perceived situational control, healthy lifestyles, and problem-focused coping would impact quality of life in a positive way. So those were our hypotheses. What I'm going to present now is a cross-sectional analysis using a baseline data of a larger intervention study which I talked about, which we conducted between March of 2004 through January of 2008. We received the appropriate IRB approvals for the study. The aid service organizations in rural areas of South Carolina, North Carolina, and Alabama helped us recruit women in the study using predefined selection criteria. So we had included women who are at least 18 years of age, who speak English. CESD, we'll talk about that when I talk about the measures, but it is a scale to assess the depression in your sample. So if they score more than or equal to 16, they were eligible to be participant in the study. So we measured the standard social demographic variables, including age, race, ethnicity, where they live, rural areas versus remote rural, is it a town? what is their social, like what is their income, do they have children, how many of young children live with them, what is their marital status, so all those social demographic variables we collected. The main dependent variable was, of course, the quality of life, which we measured using chronic illness quality of life ladder. So basically, we gave a picture of a ladder with 10 rungs of the ladder to participants, the lowest one being the worst possible life, and the highest, the top one being the best possible life. So it was 0 to 10 on the scale, and they had to pick up, you know, at what rung on the ladder they feel that they are at for this quality of life. For the independent variables, we used HIV symptom distress scale, which has two subscales. One measures the number of symptoms, and the second subscale measures how bothersome are those symptoms. HIV stigma was measured by two different scales. One was perceptions, like what are their experiences in the society with HIV-related stigma. And the second scale we used was internalized stigma. When you are exposed to the external stigma, you tend to internalize those experiences, and the person will start blaming or feeling guilt about themselves that, okay, because of my actions, I landed up having HIV. So internalized stigma scale measures a different aspect of stigma. Depression, of course, we use the CEST scale, that stands for Center for Epidemiological Studies on Depression. It is a 20-item scale, and it is good for the general population. Coping is measured by was measured by coping scale that was developed by Dr. Moneyham in her previous qualitative research with women living with HIV. And then we had social support, situational control, and healthy lifestyles. So basically, we used SAS 9.2, and we did univariate, bivariate, and multivariate analysis. So here you can see the results. We had a total of 399 women in our sample. The average quality of life was somewhere in between, on the range of 7 to 70. Predominantly African-American women who are single. Very few had education more than high school, majority of them unemployed with lower annual household incomes. Almost 70% were receiving public assistance, and 68% were diagnosed in post-heart era. So we found that quality of life was reported as better by older women and African-American women, and women who were diagnosed in the pre-heart era, and I'll talk about those unexpected findings. We also saw a negative significant association with stigma, symptoms, and depression, whereas positive associations with social support, problem-focused coping, situational control, and healthy lifestyles. This is just the bivariate analysis, and you can see with problem-focused coping, perceived control, situational control, and healthy lifestyle had moderately significant association, more than 0.5. When we put all those variables that we found were significant in bivariate in the multivariate model, the full model explained 55% of the variability in quality of life. But when we did the backward elimination, we ended up with race, HIV symptom frequency, depression, problem-focused coping, situational control, and perceived stigma and healthy lifestyles, and that explained 54% of the variation in the quality of life. Now, we did have... This is the final reduced model. You can see the highly significant p-value of less than 0.0001. As I mentioned, we had some unexpected findings. We found that African Americans, you know, reported better health, and that was unexpected because previous research said black women have poor quality of life. So one thing is because of our definition. We said definition is subjective, so it is hopes and expectation and current situation. So maybe African American women have lesser hopes and expectation to begin with. So when they are diagnosed with HIV, there is not much gap compared to what the white woman would feel. We also found those who are diagnosed in the pre-heart era were reported the better quality of life. That is counterintuitive because we would think that treatment options would improve the quality of life. But we have to think about the two things. One thing is pre-heart era, women were really living in the fear of dying. they didn't have much choices. Whereas after the medications were available, now they are living longer. So in their perspective, they have the better quality of life. It also matters like pill burden or side effects of the medications. They were higher in the pre-heart era compared to the post-heart. And that could be the reason for this particular finding. Age as a confounder, because they might be older women, and older women cope better. They don't have young kids to juggle with. They don't have many multiple tasks to deal with on a daily basis compared to young women. Interesting finding was there was no association between emotion-focused coping, and it could be because now people see HIV not as a death sentence but as a chronic disease. So they don't use emotion-focused coping strategies as much as compared to the problem-focused. So that could be the reason why we didn't find this. Social support, internalized stigma, and symptom botheration did not regain their significance in the multivariate analysis. That could be because of possible mediating effect or collinearity among different variables. So those were the unexpected findings. Of course, we had limitations. We had sampling bias because it was a convenient sample. Socially desirable responses are always a challenge for such kind of self-reported data. It was a cross-sectional study, so we cannot really say which one came first. So we don't have any way to say causality between those variables. And we cannot definitely generalize the findings because it was rural women, predominantly African-American women as our sample. So what are the implications of the findings? Definitely we have to focus on cognitive behavioral interventions, focusing on, encouraging them to use problem-focused coping mechanisms. We have to support them using support groups and peer counseling approaches so that they can reframe their cognitive appraisal. We need to encourage healthy lifestyle because that was one of the significant factors. Definitely depression is important, and we need to screen for depression and provide appropriate treatment and referrals. Efforts to increase retention in care, that is important because symptoms we found were significantly associated with quality of life, and if people are in care, they might have lesser symptoms. And definitely still efforts are needed to reduce HIV-related stigma. Future recommendations, continued focus on quality of life among these women, and maybe we can use longitudinal study designs to really see the causality between the variables and identify or pinpoint what are those exact predictors that we need to work upon. These are some of the references. We'll hold on to the questions until the next presentation. The findings of this study have been published in the Journal of AIDS and Behavior. But if you have any questions, you need any more information, that is my contact information. Feel free to contact anytime, and I'll respond to your questions. Thank you so much.